Welcome to Retirement A to Z. I'm Sue Burnett with Monarch Financial Advisors, and this series focuses on qualified retirement plans. There are a lot of moving pieces with these plans, and the rules are complicated and complex, so we're going to break them down into smaller pieces, 26 pieces to be exact, from A to Z, with maybe a few extras thrown in for good measure. This is one of the episode J's just for you. We are focusing on what retirement plans are appropriate for a particular business based on answers to a few simple questions. What industry are you in? How many owners are there? And how many employees are there? And that's it. If it's just you and your spouse, that does count as no employees, by the way. Your spouse would be considered an owner solely because they're married to you. So in this episode, we're going to focus on a larger business with 150 total employees. Our case study is a group I worked with a few years ago, a hematology group where there are two owners, a husband and wife, eight other high-paid employees, which means they're earning over $130,000. This is important, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then there was 140 other rank-and-file employees, most of which were full-time, but 40 or so were part-time, working only a day or two a week. The employees have a lot of different job responsibilities. Here, there were nurses, receptionists, billing folks, office managers, etc. But in any other organization, there would be a bunch of different roles as well, and this is also important to our design. So our first fun fact is about who we need to include. Anybody working under 1,000 hours per year can be excluded from the plan for now, which means out of our 150 total, now we go down to 110 if we kick the 40 part-timers out. Also, you can always discriminate against highly paid employees. The IRS and the Department of Labor don't want the high-paid people to get too much, and they don't want the rank and file to get too little. So you can always decrease the amounts going to the high-paid employees, even down to zero. Episode H focuses a little bit more on high-paid employees and how you can discriminate against them or for them. Because we have eight of them in our case study, we can exclude them from our plans fully or at least reduce their contributions. And with benefits paid as a percent of pay, this will save our owners quite a bit if they're good with excluding them. So generally, those high-paid employees are pretty important to the business, though. So if they're not given a benefit in the pension plan, the owners may want to consider paying them a bonus outside the plan just to make up for it. More on eligibility can be found in episode E. So what are the options for this office? The first would be to have a 401k profit sharing plan. This is a defined contribution plan where each year the two owners decide what contribution amount should go into the plan, and each employee can choose to defer whatever they want into the 401k piece. So let's talk about the profit sharing piece first, which is fully funded by the business. The profit sharing amount is flexible from year to year, so if your business wants or needs flexibility with how much is contributed, this is a great option. Now, it's possible that we can give over 25% of pay to the owners and maybe only 5 to 7% to the employees. But with 100 employees, this might be really expensive. We may not be able to give the owners a majority of the benefit, which they might not like. One way to get around this, though, is if the owners pay bonuses into the plan instead of paying them directly to the employees. In this case, a plan may work out really nicely. There's no payroll or Social Security taxes paid on that contribution, and the employees need to stay with the company for a set number of years until they're vested in the benefit. Episode V talks a little bit more about the different vesting schedules that are available. This contribution would need to be made by the tax filing date with extensions in the next year, but no later than September 15th. So for 2020, a profit-sharing contribution would need to be made by the time the business files their taxes in 2021. Now with the 401k piece, actually having a 401k piece for the employees is fairly common for businesses of this side. Generally, having the 401k piece costs a little bit more because there's the onboarding of employees and making sure that they have a wide variety of investments, but the cost for the plan is generally deductible and it might be worth it. So if the owners want to contribute more than 25% of total pay, or more than $57,000 in a year for each of them, you can't do that in a 401k profit sharing plan. There's also no guarantee as to what this balance will be at retirement, because you could put a lot in one year or nothing the next, and it really is determined by how much is contributed and what the investment earnings are. And finally, with that many employees, it's pretty unlikely we'd be able to really skew the benefits for the owners. So if any of these cons outweigh the pros, we need to move on to option two, a cash balance plan layered on top of a profit sharing plan. Now, a cash balance plan is a defined benefit plan where there's a guaranteed benefit at retirement based on a formula in the plan document. Contributions can be upwards of $250,000 per year per owner, as long as their ages and pay allow for that, which can really help accelerate retirement savings and will help provide a known level of income when the owners decide to retire. This plan is usually combined with a profit sharing plan for our testing, again, to make sure that the plan doesn't discriminate too much in favor of those owners. And this is called a combo plan or a combination plan. Most of the benefits for the owner are on the cash balance side, where we have nice high contribution amounts, and most of the benefits for the employees are over in the profit sharing side. The amounts for the owners increases substantially from a 401k profit sharing plan, just because that cash balance plan has a much higher contribution, leading to much higher deductions. If the business is looking for larger contributions and deductions, this would certainly be the way to go. Also, we can fully exclude a lot of different job classes in this cash balance plan, so there isn't a lot of extra contributions going to the employees. What's the downside? Well, the owners are going to have to make a contribution every year. A cash balance plan is fully funded by that business, and there will be higher administration costs because two filings and additional testing need to be done. We would definitely set the overall contribution to be in a range that the owners and the CPAs are comfortable with, and we can always put more into the profit sharing side or into the 401k account if there's a good year and the owners want to make additional contributions and deductions. So let's talk about our case study. Our next fun fact is what a hematologist actually does. Hematology is a study of blood and its basic components, red blood cells, white blood cells, etc. A hematologist studies and helps treat different blood malfunctions and diseases like anemia. Not that this is at all important to our case study, but it is a nice fun fact to know. So our hematology group didn't have any retirement plans and had looked into a 401k profit sharing plan, but they really weren't thrilled with the low contributions for themselves and the small percentage overall that went to them in the plan. So they went with a combo plan. They excluded all eight of the other doctors, the other high-paid employees, as well as all but one of the job classes in the office. This job class had 50 employees, and they were the employees who were youngest, lowest paid, and had the highest turnover. So there were really very few of these people that ever became vested in a benefit. This group and the owners were the only ones in both plans. And the end result was that over $500,000 was contributed to the plan each year just for the two owners, and less than $40,000 was contributed in total for those 50 employees. Almost 93% of that contribution went to the owners, and with the high turnover, very few of those employees ever became eligible for full benefits, meaning that money stayed in the plan to pay for future employee contributions. Now, were the other employees upset about this? Maybe. But the owner's argument was that the plan was for their retirement and that total compensation, pay, bonuses, and other benefits more than made up for it. So note, with these two options, the 401k profit sharing and the combination plan, I did not mention a SEP at all. A SEP really doesn't work for a business like this for a lot of reasons. First, a SEP requires the same percent of pay to be contributed for each person, including owners, so there's no skewing the benefits to the owner, and it's really expensive to give those benefits to the employees. Next, a SEP doesn't allow for employee contributions, so if you're looking to add a 401k piece, that can't happen. SEPs are also immediately vested, which means that if an employee has only worked there a year, gets a contribution, and quits, they can take the whole amount with them. And finally, if a business has a SEP, they can't have any other qualified plans, so no cash balance would be allowed for those additional contributions and deductions. If the owners are really looking to maximize retirement savings and deductions, a SEP falls short in a lot of ways. One additional point I want to make is that these two owners included life insurance in the cash balance plan as an investment. They wanted insurance on each other anyways, and by putting it in the plan, they could pay premiums pre-tax. That way, if one of them passed away, the other could use the money to either hire a new partner or to retire early and sell the business. This would also allow their retirement to be fully paid for. Not only did the owners get a large deduction and a big boost in retirement savings, but they also used that plan for business planning purposes. Check out episode B for more details on business planning with qualified plans, as well as episode L for life insurance in a plan. So wrapping it up, when it comes to qualified retirement plans, there are really only two choices available for an office with this many people: a profit-sharing plan with or without a 401k piece, which is easy and flexible, or a cash balance plan plus a profit-sharing plan to give the owners high contributions, high deductions, accelerated retirement savings, and a guaranteed benefit. And when it comes to who's in the plan, there is a lot of flexibility with who's included or not, and how much they're given. Give us a call and we can run some proposals for you to see how things shake out. It'll give you a sense of what's possible. Want to learn more? Tune into the other A to Z podcasts, where we continue to break down these wonderful and complex plans into bite-sized pieces. Remember, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Have any questions? Shoot me an email at monarchfinancialadvisors@gmail.com. Thanks for listening in, and have a great rest of your day.